Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is Stephen St. Clair.
And Sadie K. Frazier.
I'm from the Crafted Quill Podcast.
And the Daily Escape Podcast.
Well, Sadie, we're here on a special 4th of July Have Coffee, We'll Travel. But there's a special reason why that we'll get to in a minute. I'm curious to know why you've been gone so long.
Is it any of your business?
It might be. We're married.
Well, you've been gone with me, so that's, I guess, true. That's what matters.
So what have you been up to? Why have you not been podcasting?
Well, I'm trying to think the last one we did. We were off doing ones for the summer.
Sorry, everybody. We had a brief interruption. We had some fur babies that needed let outside.
Made it like 46 seconds this time before dogs interrupted.
The joys of having pets and podcasting.
That's right.
So, Sadie, you were telling about what you've been up to?
No, I was trying to decide when we did the last podcast. I think your brother and sister-in-law podcast.
Is that February?
Probably.
Wow.
No, we didn't go down in February.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little
like
bit.
At least 3 months.
Yep.
So what have you been up to? What have you been up to?
A whole lot.
You got some good stuff.
Have we done a podcast since I finished? I think we did. I finished Fragments of Hope in maybe April and had that one out by the end of April.
We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah. So that's what I did, and you finished Side of Love about the same time, shortly after that.
It came out Feb 7th.
Yep. So.
But what is the... You got something... You were sitting on something good for a while, weren't you?
Probably almost, 2 years?
Yeah.
I've been working on... So it started off as bring the story inside your heart to life. And then it transformed into like a mini workshop, which was how to write your first or 20th novel without having a panic attack, I think was the name of it. Which never quite came to fruition. There was a whole lot more that I wanted to talk about. None of the pieces were coming together. So I just kind of set it aside for a while. And then... I don't know, you and I talked a lot about what I wanted to do now that I'm in my 50s and things like that. And I'm like, there's got to be more to that, more to life than just this.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I love writing books too, but I've always felt called to help others in some way. And I think that's why I got my MA degree first and became a nurse and psychology degree. And it's just kind of formulated from there. But you and I... started talking about things because, I mean, we're like 7 years into being an author and people ask us all the time, how did you guys get started? Mm-hmm. Like, what does it take to get started? So I decided I wanted to start kind of helping others put their story together, but it's a lot deeper than that.
Well, and also being an author, it's easier than you think, but it's also harder than you think because there's a lot of little things that people have to go through.
That they don't even think of.
No, it's not as simple as sitting down at your computer or a typewriter or a pen and paper and just... It kind of depends on the avenue you want to go to.
Yeah.
There's people I've heard over the years, they simply do Wattpad or... But in our case, we actually... we published through Amazon KDP and...
Well, we had traditional traditional publishing first.
And that was what launched us into it. I had an in. I had a friend of mine I've known for probably close to 30 years that we reconnected. She's an author. One thing led to another. Here we are 7 years later. I think total we have, 16, 17 books out now?
Yep.
Plus or minus.
Yep.
And it's not a hard process, but you have to be methodical. You have to be very... what's the word I'm looking for? You have to... You represent yourself, basically.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just put garbage out. We've seen a lot of garbage. You used to edit for our former publisher, and there was one particular book you were proofing, and it was over 500 pages, and it was all about these people stuck in a cave on a planet.
It was like 500 pages of just one, basically one scene and the conversations that happen for days as they're inside a cave.
Now, and I'm sure that author probably thought, and as we all do, as we all of us authors do, in our heads, probably, or outside head conversation, we'll probably think, man, this is the best thing I've ever written. Is it, though? You have to ask those questions, and that's where having beta readers comes into play. You know, we watched the second Christmas story last November, where the main character wrote a 2,000-page sci-fi novel, and the publisher he was pushing it out to was like, no one wants to read 2,000 pages of science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And even with this, we can get into that in a little bit, but you have to completely, like, every word you say is not necessarily important to tell to somebody else. No. There's always ways to reduce and, you know, I mean, it's...
And still be an effective storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, pretend you're blind walking through a forest.
Yeah.
That's kind of been my mantra over the years of telling a story. Like, in my first Kindred Souls book, it's a Scottish historical... And it also flips between modern and historical eras. But the historical part, the scene opens up. It's late night in a Scottish harbor town. The ships in port are rocking back and forth. I'm pretty sure you could be a sighted person or a blind person and see that.
Mm.
You know, the harbor bells ringing, the slow murmur of taverns. You know, people coming and going. It's just stuff like that. That is the art of storytelling, whether it be fiction or nonfiction. It's painting a picture, giving the details, and keeping your reader hooked every single line, every single page.
Yeah.
So, this is where you're at now. You wrote some stuff that is geared to helping people.
Well, like I said, we have people come to us and ask us, how do I write my story? But it's not just, how do I write a fiction book? We have people with stories of trauma and grief and illness and abuse and terminal illness and all kinds of things. But they wanted to know how they get started. What are some of the things we do that have helped along the way, or what can they avoid? So we started talking about it, and I kept saying, I think there's something more I'm supposed to do with this. And then now insert a librarian named Marlis from our local author fair probably, how was that, two years ago?
Yeah.
And wanted to know if I wanted to work with veterans and PTSD and things like that in writing their story. And I said yes, but, you know, it's one of those, keep me posted, let me know. And whoever she was working with kind of dropped the ball at Iowa Western. So it never kind of happened. So you and I had this profound conversation one night about what would it look like if I actually did start helping other people. What resources do I have? Who would I reach out to? All that kind of stuff. I kid you not, the very next morning, we get an email from Marlis asking me if I would like to come speak at the library. And I am big on talking about people rediscovering their voice, finding their voice, through, especially through trauma, and learning how to find your voice and then, you know, seek your truth, all that kind of stuff. Stand up for yourself in your writing and rewriting the story. So Marlis emails me and asks me, they have a summer program coming out, summer reading program, on the theme of finding your voice and how our voices have power. Would I like to be a part of it? Hello?
Talk about higher power there.
Yeah. So that's where this all started. And then I, like I said, I'd already started the workshop, so I kind of started revamping it. And something told me to stop where I was at and write the book first. Never thinking, I mean, someday I wanted to write that book, but I never thought about it like before the workshop, which ended up helping me. And that is actually when the whole program came together.
Now, you had already been messing with some stuff years ago and had a whole YouTube thing going, right? Or you were publishing a course that kind of came to a dead stop, didn't it?
Yep.
Through a couple circumstances.
Just all kinds of circumstances. It felt like it never was the right time. I didn't have enough time to work on it. Even when I did, there was roadblocks all over the place. Well, now I can see why it was never meant to come out then and why it was meant to come out now. It was all in conjunction with this library event that I just did. So the book I ended up writing was Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book. And that's actually the name of the course also for right now. This volume one is on getting started writing your story. Volume two I'm working on right now is more on the editing and publishing aspects, which is going to be only for writers that have already published their book and they're ready to start, because I can't imagine that one's going to be like earth-shatteringly interesting. It's going to be very detail-oriented on the, you know.
It's a heartfelt how-to guide.
Yeah, basically. It's necessary. I mean, it's, we've run across so many issues. Even with this book that came out, I went to upload it to KDP, had all kinds of issues with it as far as formatting. My author copies that I ordered, I had to order before I got the proof. My proof copy came completely jacked up, completely not formatted correctly. And then, what else was it? Oh, and then I got the box of the author copies in the mail. Amazon dumped it off at our front door with the box wide open. There was literally tire tracks and grass stains all over the copies of the book. So I could have let that defeat me. I could have said, and almost did. I was like, is this a sign that I'm not supposed to be doing this? Maybe I'm just stubborn enough to think that maybe that was the sign I needed to know how important it was and that I was meant to continue. So that was my bonus life lesson and all that. But anyway, and then volume 3, I'm also working out. Basically, when you only have an hour and a half to talk, I had to take most of my trauma stuff out of the workshop that I just did. But my full course, my full workshop, and the book all includes stuff on somatic writing, trauma recovery to write your story, and things like that, which is where my heart is.
Now, you said a word I don't even think I remember. What's somatic?
Somatic. I can probably pull it up. Somatic is more writing from the heart, like writing a memoir.
Gotcha.
So they use somatic writing in therapy now to write your trauma. A lot of people use, just like Marlis was talking about with the PTSD patients, maybe you bring out a can of Spam, which signifies back in the war.
Yeah,
you know,
MREs.
Yeah. Whatever it is, you can bring pictures of jet fighter planes and, you know, either Korea or Vietnam or whatever, and then have them sit and write about their trauma. So it's things that inspire you, but it's kind of like that darkness, the shadow writing is what they call it. You have to get to the shadow writing and your shadow self, which is the dark parts of your trauma, in order to move forward, and then eventually rewrite your story into recovery. Yeah. So, and I go way more into it in the book, but in volume 3, it's more on the topics of trauma, abuse, addiction, grief, and it's teaching people how to evoke a more intimate and personal storyline of recovery and turn it into that memoir as you rewrite the story of your life. So I will be working and finishing those two. I'm also a writing coach, so I'm going to start offering more intensive sessions depending on their needs as an author too. So just kind of pulling all that together through In Pursuit of Purpose.
Based on my previous manuscripts, I probably need your intensive also.
You need my intensive purpose.
I do. Now let's talk about you. You had to pull together a lot of ideas from all over the place for this. Did you have any particular influences that kind of led you down one path or the other when writing course and book?
I don't think at first I did. It was more like just my need and my wanting to help others, feeling called to help others. After I started listening to podcasts last year, after I feel like all of my trauma kind of resurfaced over probably fall, winter, spring, especially, but I started listening to podcasts to kind of get my head out of that negative headspace I was in. So Mel Robbins has been a huge influence in knowing what she does to help other people, knowing that she's a mess sometimes. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, one of the things I put in the book too is, like, I'm better equipped to help the person I used to be than who I am now. So how better to reach back into the past and help the people that are broken to get to where I am today? And then you don't have to be perfect to do this. That's what held me back, is I would tell you, what business do I have to do this? I'm not perfect. I'm still hurting. I think I'm doing great. I move forward by months, sometimes years, and then all of a sudden I'm back in the past again. So I've just finally decided that that's the person I need to help. I didn't have anybody to take me by the hand and drag me out of that darkness, so who better to do that than somebody who can live and breathe that every day and reach in and help them along their way.
Now, when you're, let's say you were a person wanting to write your story, or a story, let's say you were new into the, you and I ran across a nice little gem last Christmas called Lee Child.
Yep.
He had such an impactful message about how to write that you and I went back over our current book we were working on. We had to reevaluate, didn't we? We had to literally start over and reevaluate the first chapter opening paragraph.
Fragments, yeah. I hope I changed the whole thing,
you
because
changed perspectives.
I started writing it in first person point of view and I felt like I was supposed to do that. And then somewhere along the line, my old traditional publisher's voices were in my head saying, but wait, if you write it in first person, you can't share the perspective of other people because they have no way of knowing what that person's perspective is if you don't use third person point of view and switch back and forth. So I changed it all to third person so that I could incorporate all that. After listening to Lee Child and understanding that that's where those kind of stories are meant to come from. There's all kinds of different ways to pull in other characters and get their points of view, and they're like, you could assume how they feel or watch their voice or their body language change, and you can incorporate all that too to describe the scene. So I had to start over when I was, what, 75% done, and I went back and rewrote the whole thing in first person as I'd originally done.
I remember we were sitting in the office and you were just sitting there. I asked you, are you okay? And you're like, I really want to start over and switch this to first person. I'm like, if you feel that it tells the story better than what you have it now, go for it.
Now I can't see it any other way. That's how it was meant to be.
It definitely shows the internal conflict of your character. But like you said, the external side, your characters don't know what your main characters are thinking or doing. So you have to make up for that by sometimes over-explaining, overthinking, and feeling.
It's very true.
Which kind of leads back to the being blind walking through a forest. Mm-hmm. If you're writing first person, that's the perfect mantra to use for writing.
Use all of your senses and write a sensual journey. Take them through a journey using only your senses.
So let's talk about your book for a minute specifically.
Okay.
What's the title?
Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book.
Tell me.
And it's actually a comprehensive survival guide to crafting an unforgettable narrative for aspiring authors like you.
Volume 1, right?
Yep, this is Volume 1.
So tell us, Sadie, what's something you wish you would have known from the get-go that you know now?
It's a whole lot of things. I mean, I think to enjoy the process, for one thing, you and I learned along the way. At first, it was, I don't know, I feel like the very first book we did, there was no pressure there as far as, it was just like, hey, we both love to write, we should just write this and throw it out here. We didn't have anything at stake. Mm-hmm. It was like, let's just throw this out there and see if it sticks. And it did. We both got accepted by the publisher and we were on cloud nine. So then with the second book, then it's like, how far can I push myself? Instead of just taking it step by step and writing a little bit more and practicing, like, for me, I went full-blown into an epic fantasy novel after that. I was like,
yeah, you
what are you doing?
Straight into the bubbling pot.
And my first one was a steampunk horror novel, or a short story. So why would I start with that when it was nothing I even knew about? But it was that imagination that I was trying to free and let wild.
I think mine, what really... I also think, my brain split in two there for a minute. The books we came out with kind of had to be our first ones.
Yeah.
Like, my very first one started out as a short story, Tales from the Wondrous Attic. It involves, like, our two daughters as the main characters. I won't go into details about it, but that book was my first real... Once Sadie and I split off to do our own publishing for reasons we'll tell you later, I had an opportunity to go back through Tales and Sadie designed a fantastic cover. That book actually was not long enough for print.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and read line by line, okay, I have to have this over 100 pages now for anybody to be able to order this in paperback.
Yeah.
So there's that too. But there was something to be said about self-pubbing or going through a publisher, and you have darn near complete control.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you're doing it on your own.
Yeah.
So there's benefits to both. I just told you a couple nights ago, I miss the feeling of having a traditional publisher where there's people to communicate with. And there's other people responsible for the editing process also. Like for me, that pressure falls on me entirely. And it gets to be a little much sometimes when we both have stuff coming out, when I'm trying to work on the course and all that. I'm not a half-asser. I don't want to just do things halfway. So I want a perfect product out, or at least as perfect as we can get. Now, I know I'm not going to be able to catch everything. I absolutely know that. Nobody can.
I've found other authors that I've been reading that miss stuff, and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't think that's supposed to be. And I reached out to them and said, hey, I found a mistake, and as an author myself, I would want to be told that.
But even with our traditional publisher, they spelled the name of your book and your name wrong.
Yeah,
on one of your books after you'd had 6 or 7 books out. So
there's something to be said on their end too about giving a crap about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Not just in that case, they might have just, you know.
And I think they did overall. There was one particular person who's no longer there that really
ruined it for everybody.
Kind of ruined it for everybody and put a bad taste in our mouth. And I think they're good for what they do. I think they do care overall.
They're a good stepping stone.
Yeah.
Probably more so now that other person isn't there.
Yeah.
But we look back now and we're way more successful.
Mm-hmm.
Even though sometimes we have, like right now, my newest book, The Side of Love, came out in February. Do you think that I've advertised it hardly ever?
Yeah.
No. That is honestly one of my biggest downfalls is self-promoting. And it's not that I don't want to. It's just that, A, I don't think about it. If this is my side gig, I need to be more regimented, more, okay, Tuesdays is this day, Wednesday is that day. But also at the same time, we don't have a big publishing house budget. We have very little budget.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think it all, you know, it takes a lot of money to do that kind of stuff. It does take time and patience and to have a routine that you stick to at all costs. And we used to, but we don't now with so many other things going on.
Yeah, and now we rely on the author fairs, the word of mouth.
Yeah.
Like a few people I've known in my work know that I'm an author. And like, hey, when's your new book coming out? And blah, blah, blah. And like, it's coming out here. Okay, I'll get it. And sure enough, they get it. I've got an intern that I'm in charge of at work that, you know, getting to know her and vice versa a little bit. She's like, hey, I bought your book. And I'm like, sweet. When you get it, bring it in. I'll sign it for you. That's just one of those things, too, that's like, it was an unintentional conversation that led to an intentional purchase. And that's kind of the downside about telling people that you know, because then they get to see a little bit inside your mind, whether it's
a lot of people don't write for that reason because they're afraid of what other people that they work with or their friends and family might think.
It's like, I don't want you to know me that way.
Yeah.
Like when my boss found out through another person, he was like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, well, I really didn't want you to know. That's a personal side of, which is why I have the pen name I have. And honestly, if you'd have to know, like my pen name is Stephen St. Clair. Both of those are my current or previous name, and in some connection or another. There are other people that, like, J.D. Robb is also, who's J.D.? Like her. Anyway. Nora Roberts. There are authors that you wouldn't even guess in a million years their real name from their pen name. I tied my pen name back to my birth name and my current last name, but the European spelling.
Yeah.
That's just how I roll.
And I've, since we've been authors, well, our traditional publisher also, I think everybody there used pen names.
Mm-hmm.
So we just went with that too, because I thought that was such a cool idea, and that's where Sadie was born. But this was the first speaking engagement that I've done where they announced me as my real name, as Chris Sinclair. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't say that. I want to do all of this under Sadie, but...
Legal-wise, you had
legal-wise, to get paid and things like that and start doing speaking gigs and whatever else I want to do, I have to put my real name on there, which is fine, but I didn't expect her to advertise under my real name. And then when I got there, my slides say Sadie K. Frazier, and one lady was even like, yeah, you want to back up a slide? Because I saw that there was a different name, so I was able to share the story of my pen name, but, you know.
Yeah.
Takes some getting used to.
So, you have some things that were mentioned at your speaking engagement.
Yep.
That could potentially come up. Where do you see your stuff going down the road? Where would you like to do
beyond
with it?
That?
What's big picture, as Simon Cowell would say from AGT?
Way beyond the Council Bluffs Public Library. But that might be how it opens doors too. But I'm not going to wait for those doors to open. I'm going to open them myself and climb out the windows and onto the roof.
Literally have to be your own door to door.
Yep. So she mentioned the working with veterans and PTSD before and things like that. But I don't want to keep that small. I don't want to just talk to a handful of Council Bluffs veterans that have had one experience, because they all went to war together and came home and they still live in the same small town. I want to reach way beyond that. Let's talk like Veterans Administration type stuff and all over the country. But helping them write their stories of trauma. Some of them, the bad thing about that is that some of them have not recovered yet. So you start bringing up some of those stories and you're going to have full-blown PTSD episodes right there.
So you got to have, probably I would imagine, someone on hand that is trained how to deal with. Because you don't know their reaction.
No.
They have a violent reaction.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like those veterans that hear a car backfire or fireworks that triggers a battlefield experience, and then they're on the ground ducking, covering.
Yeah.
Or thinking,
which I'm sure this time of year right now, 4th of July.
I saw that on the Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
About, it's not just animals that have PTSD moments, you know.
This person right here has some when it's loud noises like that, and it's not nearly as what as much as what they've gone through. So, but also I saw, so now I'm looking at older people that I never even thought about. I go to the author event and there's a lady sitting there that says, hey, I've written, you know, journal upon journal and memoirs of my grandma that I want to share so I can share this with my grandkids someday. And another lady that showed up because she said her son's taken like 2 years off.
Yeah,
he's taken a 2-year sabbatical to write his story and, well, write a book. And his wife's going to, you know, do all the working so he can do that. She told me afterwards that she came ready to take notes and fill in for him because he couldn't be there. And he planned to be there and couldn't come, so she came instead. However, I inspired her to start writing again and to write her own story. And that's what my goal was.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the librarian, she said she's kept journals since she was a young teenager. She's got boxes and boxes of journals that she wants to put together to write a story. Well, then do it.
I would liken that to ripples in a lake.
Yep.
Your testimony, your story was the stone thrown in the water that created ripples. And in those ripples were little tiny sailing boats that were affected, and now they're going to create their own ripples. And
you do realize that almost the very last slide of my presentation says just that, don't you?
Nope.
I got to find it here, so keep talking about the ripples, and I will find... Oh, I found it.
No.
Okay, so one of the very last slides in my presentation is a quote from Mother Teresa, and it says, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. So little did you know.
I had not seen that. I started out being your dry run, but you had a slight meltdown when we were doing it the night before.
I did.
And then, funny story, this is an advantage, disadvantage of having your spouse as your writing partner. I wasn't sure what my role was in your event that night.
Mm-hmm.
I just expected, at first I thought, well, maybe I'll video record it for you, you know, for future use, and then doing the dry run the night before, I was going to be the audience member, you were going to talk to me, and then you looked up at me and I smiled, and you're like, you just bust out laughing, you're like, yeah, you can't be in the room.
No, I wasn't laughing. I tried to say something serious and ended up crying, and then
you kind of laughed for a second, but then you broke down, and I think it was decided then it would just be easier if I wasn't in the room. And it wasn't any offense, and I didn't take any offense to it. I want you to succeed, and if your succession means me not being in the room so you could focus, because
I needed to do it on my own.
I still to this day see you as this angel sent to earth with this halo surrounding you.
But that's why I needed you to be out of the room.
She's so beautiful. So I got sent out, and I sat on the far side of the library.
He got cast aside.
I was sulking and spent 2 hours on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Listening to library sounds.
Yeah, no kidding.
What do we got? We're kind of doing this off the cuff.
Well, we were just talking about the ripple effect. I mean, it started a whole lot of other things. By the time the library event was over, Marlis came back up and asked for, you know, maybe we want to put you on the payroll. Maybe we want to do... Another lady asked for, like, a writer's group where we actually sit down. And one of the problems...
Coffee talk.
I would love that. But one of the problems that I had with this workshop is because of how the TV and the computer were connected, the table was literally clear against a wall underneath the TV, and the tables where they sat were at least 20 feet away from me, clear to the back. That's not personal. I'm stuck clear up at the front of the table. They're way across from me. I would much rather be like face to face with you. I don't want to speak at you or preach to you. I want to sit down and I want to help you physically take. I gave them all journals and pens, and we did an exercise together. They loved it. They absolutely loved it, and they ended up pulling out their pen and paper, and they wrote their first, we did a little exercise where we did a writing prompt, and then I told them to write the first line of their book, and then we all read them out loud, and then at the end, or on the second part of that, was, okay, now think about your story for a minute, where you want to take it. Now with that same writing prompt, write the very last line of your book, and everybody read them out loud. That was my favorite part of the workshop. But it was more personal. And if I would have had my choice, I would have done. So in hindsight now, I won't talk at them so much the next time I talk. We're going to do more interactive things. That's how I wanted it to be all along. But when you do this for the first time, you don't really know their reaction. I didn't know the age group. I didn't even know how many people had signed up.
Yeah.
Originally, it was supposed to be, you know, I don't care if there's a whole room full of people. It doesn't make me any more nervous if there's 50 people or 4 people. I just... You know, I want to be able to share my story, and that goes back to, like, what do I want to share? My stuff that I want to share is all trauma-related. Well, I read the room as soon as I got there. I said a few things, and I'm like, nope, let's skip ahead about 20 pages, because they literally want to know how to write their book. But then, as I'm telling the rest of the story, even though I didn't put that stuff in, it all came full circle. One lady came up to me afterwards with tears in her eyes and said, you've inspired me to write my daughter's story. I'm assuming her daughter is no longer alive from her reaction. I don't know what her story was, but even in leaving my stuff out, I shared my heart, I shared enough personal stuff that I touched the people that were meant to be touched. So, and that's my goal all along. Mm-hmm. I want to create
you
that.
Served
I want
your purpose.
Cast that stone and create that ripple, and who knows how far this will go. But
which that plays into, I mean, even aside from that, if you were just writing, I don't want to say regular books because we don't write
like
regular,
fiction. And,
yeah. If you were doing your normal writing, that gets back to not being the best at promoting.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even promoted this book.
No, which is why I wanted to do this
morning. I did the whole course, and I'm like, I haven't even announced to anybody that I wrote the book that goes with the course.
And normally, you and I do like... release videos the night before when we get the book, and we didn't even do that. And it's not that we didn't want to, it's just other things came up. Your event came up.
We have a child about ready to give birth.
Yeah, we need to promote. And that's things too, is you as a potential or future author need to consider. It's like, how invested in this do I want to become? Mm-hmm. Because you literally, and this is also a downfall of us, you cannot just be weekend warriors.
No. Nope.
If this is something you want to do all of the time, even some of the time, you have to sit down. Like my book that I came out in February 7th, Mount Hope. I said, I want this book done, I want it written, and I want it out before end of summer. Well, it's now written. I've reread it for phase two. Sadie has to edit it. I have to go back. But it's going to be out before end of summer. I made a deadline for myself. That is a goal. And, you know, stuff, whatever the wording is there, you have to set for yourself. If becoming an author, you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Start writing on a list. Do the research. And those are all things that you're going to talk about in future sessions. Is like, being an author is not just sitting down and pen to paper or computer to, you know.
Nope.
There you have to be methodical. You have to plan it out. You have to have other people. It's not just a you thing. You can't just write something and push it out. You have to have, I strongly suggest, a beta reader, at least one.
That's not something we've ever had, and no. We desperately need one.
We need a group, and
yep.
We need to find our people that, if by the grace of whomever, God, Goddess, whoever smiles upon us, we'll be able to grow a little bit. And maybe this is what Sadie's doing, has the potential to grow beyond your wildest dreams.
I feel like we've been living inside of a box because...
Well, COVID didn't help.
No, that's very true. But COVID is what started my whole business.
That's true.
It was out of that pandemic and a world of hurting people that I realized, hey, people need help. They're all suffering. We're all in this together. Yeah. Even Mel Robbins, like I said, she is one of the people I look up to the most. She had a podcast on somebody being your North Star. And for me, she is my North Star as far as where I want to go with my business and stuff. But
can I be your South Star?
That's personal, though. I'm talking on a business level. So, you know, I see her struggling. I see her share her stories. And she is more real than anybody else I know. She's, you know, she didn't even know she had ADHD or she knew she was dyslexic. But I can relate to a lot of the things she says on there. Lewis Howes on his podcast had a speech impediment. Still managed to push through that. That's my biggest fear when I go to speak. Or even on this podcast. I never used to enjoy doing this because...
One of your things that you were worried about, you had meningitis.
Mm-hmm.
About
I lost the ability to speak. 26 years ago. I couldn't put words together and sentences together.
One of your breakdown points last week was that.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the practice session, you were
I'm just talking to my husband. I'm not even in front of people. And I go to read sentences and I'm like, the dog
came. So, one of the things, and this is where having a partner comes into play, I wrap my arms around her, around you, and I comforted you, I consoled you, and I looked at her in the eyes and said, you can do this. You are not the worst version of you. You are better than anything that's ever happened to you. You're going to get this tomorrow and you're going to do it. And so, my perspective... We get to the event at the library. We get set up. I get kicked out. I go to the other side of the library. That sounds way worse than it actually is. But I actually, looking hindsight, probably was better, honestly, for both of us that I did it. But, so I'm sitting at the library. And I'm watching the time, too. It's like, okay, an hour, half hour. Sweet. She should be this far, an hour. She's probably kicking butt by now. An hour and a half. And then I look at the clock, and it's like, holy nuts. It's like 8:30, and I haven't heard any. So I'm getting kind of restless. My backside's getting tired. I get a text that says, you can come in now. And I'm like, whew. I start sweating a little bit too. I was like, all right, I get to find out how things went. And I walk in, and there's basically three or four ladies surrounding Sadie. And I just look at her like, I'm trying to read her like I always do, like, how'd it go? You know, I'm dipping and weaving, trying to get a facial read. And she basically she had the look of a teacher. She was calm, cool, collected. She was answering questions almost, you know, and I was like, she did it. She freaking did it. And I didn't doubt her, but I wasn't sure if she was going to be a holy hot mess afterwards. But I knew that she was probably going to be able to pull this off and kill it. But you did do it. And you know what? Like I said before, I said, you got other things coming down the road now. Yeah. Like ripples. They'll be coming to you.
And I also, well, you helped me with the name too, but I always envisioned taking each of these chapters that I wrote and making them into different kinds of videos on YouTube or blog posts or guides, kind of like Adam and Catherine do from A Plus K. Mm-hmm. They're YouTube bloggers, friends of ours that we follow every step of. We kind of emulate how we'd like to be as vloggers also. But they come up with, like, they travel somewhere and then they come up with guides on how to do things, what to avoid, their favorite things, things like that. I see writing instructional things typed up also.
Yep.
Maybe even as blog posts. I don't know. But I think also,
if you do your YouTube channel, that'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, but I can also see it in writing for people who don't get on. Like the ladies that I talked to at the workshop, they would probably not get on YouTube and watch a step-by-step video. They might. But I think if I type something out, they were more excited about the handouts that I handed them. And all I printed out was the technology resources. They're like, you have handouts too? I love it. And I'm like, man, I wish I'd have had handouts for the whole thing. That would have been kind of cool for each chapter. But anyway, so the YouTube channel is In Pursuit of Purpose with Sadie K. Frazier. But underneath that, we're trying to figure out how to add a secondary channel or a separate channel. We're not sure how we're going to do that part yet. But it will be under In Pursuit of Purpose. But it's called The Purposeful Writer. And it will be more of an academy of, like, teaching lessons. Mm-hmm. So, how to, step-by-step how-to guides and videos, tutorials on each step of the writing process. And this is so weird because the other night after, was it after I gave the talk? I literally woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the word layers. Layer your book. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I remember that.
Okay.
Because you had main character and then...
So then I got up the next morning and I was like, okay, what does that mean? Well, it was more about the main character at the time. Like, you're layering a main character. So let's say you picture your main character. There's just a plain person. Actually, you could look at it as a stick figure at first if you want to.
Skeleton.
There's a stick person. Yeah, there you go. A stick person or a skeleton just standing before you. Now, put skin on them. What color is their skin? What does their hair look like? Their eyes? Do they have any scars? Do they have a past? Do they have a story? Who's standing behind them? Who is on their, you know, in their tribe behind them? Who's fighting against them in front of them? Then start building behind that. Build the city that they live in. Build their life and their memories and things like that.
What's the other word for that?
World building. Yep. Yeah, that's the whole process of world building, which I talk about in my book too. Things I wish I knew before I wrote the book. There's a whole thing on character and world building.
You know, and you can actually look back where I learned from you, fantasy name generator.
Oh.
I've had to turn to that a few times for Scottish names and just stuff like that. That's like, I couldn't possibly pull from my hat.
I use that for everything. It doesn't even have to be fantasy.
Yeah, no, it can be anything, really.
Yep.
Store names.
Yep.
World names, creature names, alien names.
But they've added real names in there.
Yeah.
If you want just, you know, Joe Smith, there's real names on there, and you can pick their nationality or their heritage.
You just keep pushing next if you don't like it. Next if you don't like it. Next.
Yep. It's pretty cool. But anyway, then I began to see, after I thought about the character and the layers thing, yes, it was just yesterday that I thought of that. I started thinking more things about, like, writing this course. I wrote the book first, then I wrote the course. Then if I do YouTube, what is that too? That's layering of the whole thing. So think about the whole writing process as layers too. You start as this person with a pen and a piece of paper thinking, what do I want to do with this? Did I think when I wrote that very first short story and submitted it to our publisher that it was going to turn into this in my life? No. There was always that hope, I think, that I would help other people, but I didn't know it was going to be in this form.
And I, you know, I thought growing up too, so I got held back in second grade because my reading level was so far underneath where I should be. Like, I couldn't even count to 100 I could, but I couldn't write it out. I couldn't read it.
Yeah.
So when I got held back in second grade, I learned how to properly read. It just, things started clicking. And so when I got to junior high, all of a sudden it's like, I walked into the library and it's like a whole world opened up to me. And then I'm like, God, I wish I could be an author when I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm grown up and I am an author. I love it. I could probably do it more often than what I do, minus working the 11 plus hours a day that I do work.
Yeah. I mean, but if we didn't have regular jobs, we would love nothing more to do this, to travel.
If we could make what we make now, but being an author, podcaster, exploratory videographer.
I would love to do this for a living.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But
and like I said before, too, traveling. Like I said before, too, you're never too old and it's never too late to write your story, no matter what that story is, whether it's a story of trauma and recovery. It's never, ever, ever too late. And there's always a good place to start. And that's with just believing that you can. There's so many resources. And like I said, we don't really have time on the podcast to get into all of it. But if you want to pick up a copy of my book, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book, it's step by step. You know, there's how to find your voice through writing, cultivating your voice, doubting your voice, shifting the narrative of self-doubt and overcoming self-doubt as a writer. And then, so you want to write a book? Now what? Then what do you do? Now you believe you can, but what do you do with it? And I talk about the planning stages of creating an inspirational writing space, locations conducive to writing, creating a writing routine that works for you. Where do I search for inspiration to write the book? Technology, that's a big one. I give a whole handout in my workshops of all of the technology you'll need to get started in writing your novel. Then I move on to drafting a daydream and why daydreaming is crucial to creativity. Discovering your purpose for writing and discovering what your why is. I get in a little bit about writing a memoir and trauma recovery and writing your storyline through somatic writing, but not as much as I will in volume 3. I talk about fiction, creative fiction, and nonfiction, which path is right for you. Nonfiction topics to tease out the story within, the art of storytelling through writing fiction. Writing the greatest story of your life through your magnum opus. Pen name versus real name. Sticky note parties. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Use that myself for podcasting.
Outlines versus no outlines. How research is integral in writing, well, anything really, but fiction especially.
Oh, yeah.
It's a blast.
Chris Kindred Soul's book?
Oh, yeah. Half Fate Will Travel? That was a blast.
Especially Half Fate Will Travel.
Creating your character profile or birthing your baby. The wonder of world building, dialogue versus points of view, scene breaks, section breaks, crushing writer's block, igniting your imagination and setting your storyline on fire. There's a sensual journey your readers will never forget. And then we talk about the beginning and the end, just like the my workshop where I do the first lines and the last lines. Lee Child, and what you were talking about earlier, he said literally your first line of your book will make or break whether they ever pick up another book of yours again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a whole lot of pressure when I first heard that. I was like, oh, we got to go back and change a few things.
You could think something's good enough. It's like, no, that's good. I like where it's at. And then you get a whole different perspective. You're like, okay, well, I didn't think about that. Let's start over again.
Yeah.
You have to. You can't. You should never, the first go around, never accept what you just did. Look at it. That's why every time I write, the next time I write, I go back and reread what I wrote, because chances are I've either fallen asleep half a dozen times because I just get that relaxed, or I correct grammar, or which I'm not great at, or no, punctuation, or grammar, or just straight out opening line in the paragraph. I'm like, nope, that's not how I could do that. It could be this way.
True.
What forest are you painting for your reader?
Yep.
You know,
and the main objective is to leave them satiated by the end of that story and want more. Some people will say, don't give them all of it. Leave it on a cliffhanger. I mean, tie it all up nicely in a neat little package, but leave them just enough of a teaser at the end in case you want to write more in a series or something. Yep. And leave them, can't wait till your next book comes out.
I didn't think Kindred Souls would go into 3 books.
Yeah.
And then I was done, and then a year or so later, I'm like, backwards. I was like, oh, sweet, I've got 3, I'm done. And then a year later, I'm thinking, I started to hear this little whisper. It's like, you should do a 4th book. I'm like, shut the hell up.
That's true.
I don't want it. You know, you can't completely close out the fact that you are ever done with anything. There could be continuation in my Kindred Souls series. It's a generational. You know, in the second or third book, my main characters ended up having kids. Well, then in my third book, actually, no, my fourth book I'm working on, it's 10 to 13 years later. They're early teens. So it's never rule out being completely done, because that kind of gets back to world building and character development. Some stories are good with one and done. Some stories are, it really gets back to the readers, like, oh, I could read that forever. Okay, well, how do I do that? How do I continue writing books that chronicleize? You think about the Indiana Jones movies. It started out with him being a young Indiana. Now, the newest movie coming out, he's an old man, and it's the last adventure of his life.
True.
That's how you write a book.
Yeah. Write it as if, at any moment, that could be the last adventure of That's your right. life. Yeah, I know. You're sticking your...
What do you do that for?
Well, it could be, though.
That's the reality.
Life is just too short to waste.
Yeah.
So.
Get up on it.
That's right.
All right, Sadie, what else we got?
Probably it as far as mine. I mean,
I promised Sadie this wouldn't be a long podcast, and here we are creeping up on an hour.
Yeah,
you're such a talker.
I know, right?
So what we got going on is Sadie's brand new book out on Amazon. Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book. I am proud to say, as her husband and co-author in life, this is book one of many.
Yep.
She has a writing course. She has a YouTube thing coming down. All of which are going to take time.
I also have some inklings of, you know, I mean, it's so hard because I have all this stuff I want to do for the business end of things. That sounded really bad, but through the business end of things and pursuit of purpose. But at the same time, I want to write my own stuff. I've got some little sparks of like the cusp of magic when I wrote that. That's the...
I started.
The, what are the zodiac luminaries of... Raven Oak, it's a whole 12-part Zodiac series, and I haven't written it for like 4 or 5 years, and now I've got inklings of 2 separate ones that I want to write. I'm like a third of the way done with Saving Grace, which is the follow-up to Love, Sam. Travelstead needs some serious love, too. I mean...
Well, you know what's funny about all those that you're mentioning is that you and I both have crossed over onto each other's...
I know.
Hey, does so-and-so have this or that? Or I even borrowed one of your characters in a book I started years ago.
Yep.
It's like, hey, can I borrow Travelstead?
We also want to work on Half Fate Will Travel too, and we've got Curiosity Chronicles, which is a fan...
Zobel and Schlag.
Yeah, it's like a fantastical realm fun. That would be a blast to write.
Yeah,
we just need like...
Time.
A whole year off.
Nobody to bother us.
You said a month or before, At least like a not month too would be long nice. Ago, and I'm like, no. How about a year or two?
A month would solidify us in writing, but then it's like, okay, I'm ready to do more.
Yeah. How about just winning the lottery so we can retire now?
You gotta play, though.
Yeah. We just need to retire now. The universe needs to say, here you go. This is what you're meant to do. Let me prove it to you.
Keep going.
So, what are you working on?
I had a new book out February 7th called The Sight of Love, and I switched immediately... gears to working on Mount Hope that I started over a year ago. It is kind of a Western themed romance, sort of. Like I said a little bit ago, I'm done with the rough draft. I'm on second phase. Actually, I just finished that. I had to wait until you were done with your thing right now for you to edit it. So I could potentially have Mount Hope out. Cover's done, mm-hmm. as far as I know, unless I change
Blurb's
it.
Blurb's done.
Is it done? Yeah, it is done.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's just you editing it and then throwing it all together. And then never, ever before, almost sound like the game, never, ever have I released more than one book in a year. And actually before The Sight of Love, it was 2 years prior, Half Fate Will Travel. So
True.
That's one of those things as being an author. Life just kept... kicks you in the nuts sometimes. It gets you down or it pulls you away. Or in my case, I have a Google Drive full of book manuscripts that constantly begging for attention, and I'm like, okay, you're next. But that doesn't really help any one particular book get done. If you're spreading yourself so thin, find one. And this is the first time I've ever done it. I followed Sadie's advice. Find a manuscript. Stick with it no matter how hard it is to fight off the other voices in your head. You know, so.
I agree.
Beyond Mount Hope, I've got a lot of other manuscripts. I kind of almost want to go back and finish the old ones that I started.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one that I started at the apartments from 12 years ago.
Yep.
That I wasn't even an author then. I was just not even a hobbyist.
True.
What you got? Lots, huh?
Lots. I don't know what I'm going to work on. Don't forget about my novel that just came out too, Fragments of Hope.
Fragments of Hope.
I feel like she was overshadowed by this whole workshop because I jumped straight from the frying pan into the fire.
And I will tell you, we read each other's books after they're done, and I got to tell you, I cried.
In Fragments,
I cried. You and I didn't talk a whole lot about each other's books then, so we really didn't. I really didn't know what was coming up, and there was a couple potential love interests that I'm like, ooh, I could see that. Ooh, and then it ended up being the other one. Like, you put her with that him? And I was like, yeah. I kind of had a feeling, but I was like, no, I can't rule out the other guy. And then it happened. I'm like, okay. So, lots to do, lots going on. Summer's slipping away. It'll be into my favorite time of year. It could be fall all year long, and I'd be happy. Can we just move somewhere that has that?
Right.
I want to live it all year fall.
Spring and fall together. Let's omit summer and winter all together.
With a smattering of thunderstorms, electrical energy.
I can think of a certain state that might incorporate all of that.
Me too.
Just a few less wildfires. Well, there's a combination. One starts with an O and one starts with a W. Let's just say P and W all together.
Okay. Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Northern California on up.
Yeah. Let's just play with that whole coast on up into Canada.
Into Canada. Got it.
Okay.
Well, Sadie, this has been a fun adventure. I'm sorry that we did run over.
It's all right.
I know when I asked if you want to do it, you kind of looked at me like, you what?
My brain literally, as soon as I finished the workshop, stopped. Like, I have been writing and rewriting. There was nights I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning and then got up and, you know, got up at 6 something and went to work. And because I was working on corrections and reformatting and stuff, and it's just like,
that's just one of those things that comes with the territory.
Yeah.
How bad do you want this out and done correctly?
Yep.
That's what it was. It's a sacrificial lamb.
But
you
after
the
it's
lamb.
Done, I felt like as soon as I got done with that workshop, my brain went, okay, you're done for a little bit. And then when you wanted to do a podcast and talk about it all over again, my brain was like, what?
You looked at me all crazy. like you'd come out of the desert like, why? Okay, we're going to get more coffee. Let's go.
I have to form words again. What?
I have to speak intelligently.
Yeah.
Well, Sadie, thank you for co-authoring this podcast. This has been another Have Coffee, We'll Travel, but special 4th of July edition, even though it's July 3rd.
Yeah.
My apologies to what few listeners I have.
And me.
Thank you for following along, and
I hope you understand why our absences sometimes are required for
life.
Other things. Not that we can't get on here and say a few words, but we needed to take a step back and tie up some loose ends with the workshop and our current projects before we could put ourselves back into podcasting. So
Sadie's got two new books out, remember.
Yep. Fragments of Hope and Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book.
I have one out currently. The Site of Love, and then soon, within the next month or less, Mount Hope.
Awesome.
And our podcast. Go back and listen to all of our old podcasts. Chat us on Twitter, Facebook, email us. Either way, thanks for joining in.
And remember, write your story, change your life. Share your story, change the world.
This has been another episode of The Crafted Quill.
And The Daily Escape.
Thanks for listening.
See you on the flip side.
Peace out.